Good morning. Hebrews, Book of Faith. We've been talking about faith for several weeks now. We talked about the danger of losing faith. Hebrews 3, verse 12 through 15, the danger of unbelief. The sixth chapter, and again in the tenth chapter, the need for a faith that endures. In the 11th chapter that we just finished, we talked about the many who had the kind of faith that we've been talking about. In this chapter, it's talking about your faith and my faith and what it needs to be and how it needs to be. And he tells us in verse number 1 that we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. So great a cloud of witnesses. That just brings pictures to my mind of performing, if you will, on an athletic field. And I think that's exactly what he was talking about, a precursor for the Olympics. You've seen the Olympics, surely, where all those athletes come parading in and they're on the field, and I mean, there's thousands and tens of thousands of people that are in the stands and around the world watching and cheering, and it's just an absolutely amazing sight. And what always fascinates me about that sight is they usually try to go off and interview people who have won gold medals already. Somebody that won a gold medal in the javelin toss, or somebody that won a gold medal in the basketball game, or whatever, and they talk about how they're so hoping that their team will compete to that kind of a level. I think that's the picture that we need to get here. The Old Testament saints that we just talked about in the 11th chapter, you know, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Daniel and Sarah and all, they're all there. We did it. You can too. We faced up to those problems and you can too. We had friends that disappointed us and discouraged us and we overcame. We had enemies that tried to stop us from being what God wanted us to be, but we overcame. And you can do it too. You can do it too. Don't stop. Don't give up. That's what the cloud of witnesses that surrounds us is telling us. They know what we're going through. You know, it's not like if I was to go to a lacrosse game. I have no idea what they're doing out there. I mean, they got sticks with a net on it and they're trying to throw the ball back and forth to each other. What's the strategy? What kind of plays do they put? I get no idea. This guy should be here and he's not. Why not? I don't know the game. Now you take me to a football game. And I can say, that guard right there, he missed the block. And that ruined the whole play. Or that tackle, he made a block that was just amazing and opened up a hole and the running back went right through and got a big, I know the game. So I can look at it and say, they can do that. I've seen people do that. Makes a whole difference. My grandson, Chris, plays soccer. You talk about a game I don't understand? I mean, I really don't. They're all running down the field, and all of a sudden the official blows a whistle, and somebody crossed the line when they shouldn't have, so they have to go back and start all. What? I don't know. It's really hard for me to cheer. I mean, unless he's got the ball, and he's kicking it and running down. I know to cheer for that. But I don't understand the rest of it. These witnesses understand. And they can cheer, very, very knowledgeable. Their exemplary life shows that it can be done. That's the cloud of witnesses that surrounds us. every day. And we need to be aware of that. We need to be aware of that. And if we're going to follow in their footsteps, those who have succeeded in the race of faith, we need to have three things. That's going to be our 3 points today. First thing we have to do, verse number one, it says, let's lay aside every weight. You run a race. You don't go out there to run a race with a backpack on, combat boots, helmet on your head, flak jacket on, and try to run a race. You lay aside those weights. Believe it or not, one time, a few years back, I tried out for the track team. That wasn't a pretty sight. Fleet of foot, I never have been. But one of the things that they did in the practice was they put weights on our ankles. Coach said, put your foot up here. And he strapped, felt like about a 10-pound weight on each foot, probably a half pound, I don't know. But it felt heavy. And he said, all right, now let me see you run that 100-yard dash. I said, what? He said, get down, go. You felt like you couldn't move. And he said, all right, come back here. And he took the weights off and he said, now run. I felt like I was, going to break the 3-minute mile going down there. Difference in taking the weight off. And that's what racers do. That's what runners do. They lose as much weight as they can, sometimes a little more maybe than what they should in some of the clothing that they wear, but they want their clothing as light as it can be, that allows as much freedom of movement as you can. I mean, any excess weight, clothing that's too tight, anything that hinders, needs to be taken care of before you run the race. And then he says the second thing that we need to lay aside is lay aside not only the weights, but the sins that so easily beset us. Sins that so easily ensnare us, the New King James said. And boy, aren't they out there. And with every one of us, they're different. What ensnares you, I may look at it and say, what? That bothers you? That's nothing. I don't know why you can't handle that. I do. It doesn't. Gave up soft drinks 90% of the time. Occasionally when I'm at a restaurant or something, I'll have one. That's about it. I don't drink soft drinks at all. Some people, just on and on and on. Look at it and say, well, why does that bother you? Now, you set me down in front of a chocolate cake and give me a fork and just leave because the cake will be gone. I mean, the whole cake. Two things, chocolate and cake. Other people look at it and say, oh. I mean, there's actually strange people out there that don't like chocolate. That just boggles my mind that you wouldn't like chocolate. We all have sins that so easily beset us. I think in the context here, he's specifically talking about the sin of unbelief, of leaving God, of leaving Christ, leaving the church, that surrounded the Jews of that time. And the pressure that they were under from family and friends and culture to come back to Judaism. Because this letter was written to the Hebrews, the ones who lived in Palestine. That was the sin that so easily ensnared them. But all of us have our sins that easily ensnare us, and we've got to set those aside. In another place, Jesus says, we each have a cross to bear. Same picture, same idea. We need to set aside certain things. And then with the full assurance of faith, with every hindrance set aside, we can run the race. We can do what God intended for us to do. But you know, there's something more. Because many times we don't comprehend the true nature of the course. Talked with Ralph Price. Ran his first half marathon. He just started running a couple of years ago. And he's up to running a half marathon. And as he put it, there was an old man with a walker and a 90-some-year-old grandma behind me when I got done. He runs in a park, which is fairly level. And he'd run 13 and a half miles, that's a half marathon, many times. But they didn't lay the course out on a nice level park. They laid it out through the city. And the last almost mile of it was uphill. He said if it had been a quarter mile farther, he never would have made it. He didn't think about the course. He said his legs were burning. His back was killing him. His head was hurting. And his throat was so dry. And as he staggered across the line, there's his daughter Abigail saying, "Finally!" They had been waiting for him, and she watched all these other runners go by. And here comes Daddy up the hill. "Finally," he said. I just about collapsed. He said, "You know, I saw Jennifer and Abigail standing there. I tried to put a smile on and make like a running was easy." And he said, or she said, "Finally." And he said, "It's just like you stuck a pin in me. I just collapsed." He didn't think about the course. He said he'll run somewhere else for his practices for the next one that he runs. He won't just run on a flat ground. And you know, I'm afraid sometimes that we think Christianity ought to be that, a race on a nice flat piece of ground. We ought not to have any hills. We ought not to have any gullies we have to jump over or go down into and come back up. It ought to be something nice and flat. It hadn't been my experience. And it's not what God tells us to expect. He tells us in verse number 1 that we're not only are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, need to lay aside every weight and every sin that so easily ensnares us. Let's run with endurance. That's the second point that we need to make, is we have to run with endurance. We have to know right from the start, this isn't a sprint. This is a marathon. This is a race that requires endurance, not just a burst of energy. And then you're done. I like to watch sports, as you all know. But the Olympics, and you see those guys in the 100-yard dash. And I mean, they blast out of those stops. And by the time they get to the end, they only went 100 yards. Marathoner's not starting to get loosened up yet. I mean, he's got 26.6 miles or something like that that he's got to run. But they spend all that energy at once. And then they give up. I'm afraid too many of us get that way. Not just in our Christianity, but in everything. We get all enthused and all excited, and we're going to spend all this, and we work like mad, and then, that's too much work. That's too hard. I've lost interest. Got any projects you started at home and lost interest in? We dare not do that with Christianity. We need to know and we need to understand that endurance is a necessary quality if we're going to run the race. Jesus often taught his disciples about that need. Remember in the parable of the sower, he talked about the seed that fell on the shallow ground? And it burst out of the ground, ready to grow, and the first time there's trouble, it all wilted away. That's what he's talking about. The need to grow the roots deep where you can get to the water in the hot and heavy times. Endurance. He told him in the Great Commission. In Matthew, the 10th chapter, verse 22, if you endure to the end, you receive the prize. He told us in Matthew 24, Mount of Olives, the need for endurance till the end. He told his disciples, I'm going away, but you need to endure to the end to receive the promise. The Hebrew writer that we've been looking at for the past couple of months did it over and over and over. In the 6th chapter in verse 11, he talks about Abraham. And the fact that he lived his whole life and still didn't receive the promise, but his descendants did because he endured. Because he endured. Well, how do you develop endurance? Well, how do you do it otherwise? You try it. And you fail, and you get up, and you try it again, and you try it again, and you try it again. One time I smoked. I can't tell you how many times I quit. And then I quit again. By the way, I started back up, and then I quit again. And I'd start up again, and I'd quit again, and I'd start up again, and I quit again. And hopefully it was getting a little bit longer that I could quit each time. Till finally my son was born, Don, decided that's it, I don't want him smoking. I'm not going to smoke anymore. That was it. I didn't gain that endurance the first time I quit. I had to quit over and over and over and over. And that's discouraging. That's frustrating. You get to the feeling, well, I might as well quit. I can't do this. You ever get that way with your Christianity? You're just ready to quit. Well, Romans, the 15th chapter, turn there with me if you would. Romans 15 and verse number 4 tells us there's a way that works. So the things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. How are you going to have hope? How are you going to get that patience? Study God's Word, like Hebrews 11, and you look at those old-time saints, and they made it, and I can too. They were men just like me. Sarah was a woman just like you. She made it. Oh, she laughed at God at one place. But she made it. She didn't quit and she didn't give up. We need to read about the faithfulness of those who persevere to the end. And then we need to read about the faithfulness of God, who fulfilled every promise He ever made. And He'll fulfill the promises to us. Endurance is something that it's required, but it's something that takes a lot of work to do. Third thing that we need to have. Let's go back and read our text again. Therefore we also, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let's lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. We need to focus. Several of my grandchildren have from one extent to another, ADHD. Used to take him to school. When I got out of the car, the last thing I would say to him is, focus, 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 all the way to the door. One day one of them was walking away and he stopped all of a sudden and said, wait, you don't have to say it. Focus, right? I said, yeah. And he turned away and I said, focus. He said, wait, stop that. I know. I know. And he walked, put his hand like that, all the way to the door, and then jumped in real quick and closed it. I thought, yes, I've got to them. They're thinking about focus. And you know, that's hard for some of us. I have ADHD. I have a hard time focusing. Pretty length of time. Now, when I focus, I hyper-focus. Okay, I can't tell you the number of times Sandy scared me to death. And I sit right underneath where the steps come down. They come down right behind me. And then she comes down the hall, opens the door, walks in the office, and she'll say, Don. I don't even know she's in the house. Because I'm focusing. And I mean really focusing. That's the only way I can work. I'm very fortunate. I have a job where I can focus and then relax for a few minutes. Maybe even play a little bit of solitaire for a game and then go back and focus again. Focus. That word, look, to Jesus, in the original, what it means is to look away. Look away. You know, there's an old formula for success that's very, very real. If you want to be distressed, look within. Look within yourself and say, you know, I'm not doing very good. I get all these problems and I got all... If you're focusing within, you're going to be distressed. If you want to be defeated, look back at all the times you failed and you'll be ready to give up. If you want to be distracted, look around. Satan's got a million things out there to distract you. If you want to be dismayed, look ahead. But if you want to be saved, look up. That's what Paul says in the book of Colossians, the third chapter, in verse number 1. He tells us that we need to look above. He says, if then you've been risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. If what we think about and focus about is what's here, you're going to fail. Because you know something? People don't always do what they should do. You don't always do what you should do. Circumstances don't always work out the way they should. You haven't always succeeded. So you look at within yourself and you say, why try? Why try? Because Jesus did. He succeeded. He's the author and finisher of our faith. That's why we need to look at Him. That's why we need to look at Him. Oh, I think He's telling us that this cloud of witnesses is there. I want to tell you, when you're down on the field competing, athlete after athlete has said, I don't even hear the crowd. And if you've ever been to a sports event, you say, what? I can't hear anything but the crowd. You can't even talk to the person sitting next to you sometimes. Down on the field, they're focused. Oh, they glance at the crowd between the plays, on the way out to the field. On their way off the field, they look at the crowd. They glance at the crowd. But when they're on the field, they're focused. I've got to block that guy. I've got to run this route down, out, and up. And I've got to be there at that yard line in 8 counts. Because the quarterback's going to throw the ball to me at 8 counts. They know exactly where they're supposed to be. And they're counting to themselves. The ball's snapped. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Turn and the ball's there. Because you see they're focusing. And that's what we're told to do here. We're to look away from all these distractions, from all our failures, even from all our successes, lest we think so much of ourselves, and look to Jesus. Focus on Him. Because He's the beginning and the end. The Alpha and the Omega is, John tells us in Revelation, the first chapter and verse 8. He's the one that blazed the trail for us. What we have to do is walk in His footsteps. We have to look to Him. Because He's run the race already. He's finished the course. And He's opened up a new way for us. And now what He wants to do is help us to finish it ourselves. If we're willing to let Him. How'd He do that? Oh, He's God, man. No, that's not what. He was a man. Sure, God, man, both. But we're told He withstood sin because, well, let's see what it says. He's the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despised the shame, and has sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. He succeeded in running the race because He looked at the finish line. He saw the joy that was before Him. Just like Ralph said, as he was coming up that hill, he could see Jennifer and Abigail there, and he was going to cross that line if he had to crawl. And he was going to do it with a smile. Until Abigail punched his balloon. But that took him across that line. He finished because of the joy that was set before him. And because he did have that joy, he could endure the cross, the physical pain, beyond anything we'll ever imagine. and not only the physical pain, but the shame, the agony, the emotional pain. And we've got to look to Jesus. He looked to the joy of sitting down at the right hand of God. And we look at Him. And inspire us to move on. And then it says in verse number 3, consider Him. He endured such hostility from the sinners. We can't just look at Him and say, oh yeah, that's good. We've got to consider Him. We got to meditate on it. We've got to think about it. What do you think about when you're having a bad day? What a bad day am I having, right? How bad my head hurts. How tired I am. How sore I am. I don't know if you're aware or not, Zach's been helping Steve cut grass. And he's been sitting behind a desk for a few years. And he's doing physical labor. Ask him if his legs are sore. And I think he'll tell you, yeah. I mean, sore. Sore. We need to stop and think about, consider Jesus. Consider the fact that He endured hostility from sinners. That's not just talking about at the cross. That's talking about almost all of His adult life. He endured it frequently. Luke tells about it in the 4th chapter, the 11th chapter, the 16th chapter. I mean, on and on and on. He didn't give up. Meditating upon the Lord, we're told here, if we'll consider Him, it's lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul. Are you weary and discouraged? Because you're not thinking about the right things. You're not considering the right things. You're considering how bad I have it. And how nobody appreciates. And how nobody thinks about. How I have to, instead of considering Jesus and all He did for us. And you know, when we sit and consider Him and His example, that's a form of waiting on the Lord. That's what Isaiah was talking about back in Isaiah, the 40th chapter, where he gives, I think, one of the most beautiful passages of Scripture in the entire Bible. Isaiah 40, verse 31, the last verse of the chapter, where he tells us that we can suffer, feel sorry for ourselves, and weary, but he says, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Isn't that a wonderful thought? You remember what it was like when you were 20? You bounced out of bed in the morning and ready to go, full of energy. No thought about how am I going to get it all done today. Renew your energy. Mount up on wings like eagles. The picture of that. You know, just everything was cool. Nothing hurt. Problems. I can handle those. He says you'll run and not grow weary. You'll walk and not faint. If you wait on the Lord, and considering Jesus, I think, is part of what He's talking about. It doesn't mean just sit over in a corner and say, all right, Lord, here I am. Solve my problems. look to Jesus, consider Jesus. Folks, running the race of faith requires both negative and positive. Negative, we've got to put off the things that weigh us down, that hinder us. Positively, we have to keep our focus on Jesus, who made it all possible. In both cases, putting off and focusing, the Bible, the Word of God, is critical. Critical. In the Bible, we learn what sort of things we need to lay aside. And in the Bible, we learn the sort of things that we need to focus ourselves on about the Lord, how He endured, the example that He set before us. Have you lost your endurance? Are you getting tired? Frustrated? Weary? Running the race of faith? You need to let the Bible help you to examine what baggage needs to be set aside in your life. You need to let the Bible help you to learn more about Jesus, whose example should lead us on to perseverance. You remember Hebrews 10, verse 36? I know it's been a couple of weeks, but it says, "For you have need of endurance." Can't we all say amen to that? You have need of endurance, so that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. You want the promise? God has offered it, plain and simple. If you believe that He is, that He's the Son of God, you're willing to turn from your sins, confess His name, be buried with Him in baptism, salvation is yours. And then you get to start that wonderful journey. And it's not a flat plane that we're running on either. It's a marathon. Uphills and downhills. And you need endurance. Have you grown weary? Do you need help? We stand ready. Please give us that opportunity while we stand and while we sing.